Are you or a loved one stuck or frozen in addiction recovery? Are you inspired to drop old and limiting beliefs about who you really are? Process your emotions, disarm the inner critic, and move from self-loathing to self-embracing with Melissa Armstrong Coaching. With online one-on-one coaching, small group coaching, and workshops, Melissa Armstrong can help you find the magic in the darkness. Check out Melissa Armstrong at www.strongarm.ca. That's www.strongarm.ca.
It has been said that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's human connection. Here, we connect anonymously. This is Addicts in the Dark with Quick Nick.
Addicts in the Dark is now part of the Mental Health News Radio Network, a network of podcasts focused on mental health and its effects on all aspects of our lives, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, and its role in entertainment, sports, politics, and more. Explore those shows at mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com. Right now, it's caller 44 and their story about addiction. Addicts in the Dark.
Hi, Anik.
Hi. So, no names, no area codes, maximum of an hour should you choose to use the full hour. And sometimes a vague idea of your location might be relevant.
I was thinking about that because there are some things I was interested in mentioning, possibly, that could really be de-anonymizing in a small country like mine. I am based in Estonia, which is in northern Eastern Europe and a rather small country. So I'll keep that in mind.
Sounds good. You good to go?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about your addiction.
I discovered the first time I noticed that I might have an addiction with trading crypto is when it really started disturbing my sleep. I began to basically skip nights just because I had a position open, which either was going in my favor or was not. But the pure excitement and the thrill just kept me up all night. And it started to spiral because I didn't get any sleep. My decision-making suffered the next day. And that took me down a spiral where my performance really, really suffered. And it turned from a potentially beneficial type of a job into really an addiction and a thrill seek.
So I haven't had a crypto caller on the show before, but I have heard from several gamblers. Crypto trading and gambling share similarities because they both involve risk taking and speculation with the aim of gaining profit. They both rely on uncertain outcomes and require a certain amount of analysis and strategy and sometimes luck. And just for audience members who don't know what crypto trading is, crypto trading involves buying and selling digital currency to make profit from when the price changes. And for clarification, was this your main source of income? Was it your job?
It was a side hustle. And at some point, I decided to make it my main thing. So then I started, in my mind, treating it like a job and dedicating actually more than 10 hours a day to it.
And how did you get into it? What made you get started?
I got started out of curiosity in 2014, 2015, just because I looked into the underlying technology and I was so amazed by the fact that someone basically created a digital, a mushroom web, basically. It's how I see the blockchain. And to reiterate on what you said about the crypto trading sounding like gambling, it actually really felt like a gambling.
Right. I feel like people keep gambling or get sucked into gambling because they win, because they have success with it. Did you come out on top at first?
Yes. In the beginning stages, I had some success and then I had some losses, but I wasn't betting a lot back in the 2015-16. I was more like testing the waters and playing with a few hundred euros here and there. When it really started to disturb my life was after I had sold a stake at a company which I worked at, and I suddenly came on top of a lot of money, which was a lot of money in not astronomical amount, but still a lot for me at the time.
Can you give us a ballpark, an idea as to what that number was?
Yeah, I made close to $100,000 from the sale of the company.
Like 100,000 American dollars?
Yeah,
that's like 10 billion Canadian dollars. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah, so because I at that point, I thought I'm really good at crypto because a few years earlier, I had turned 0.1 Bitcoin into 0.6 Bitcoin. I figured, oh, I sextupled the beginning capital. So I figured, hey, so now I have this amount of cash. I have this amount of money. If I play my cards right, I will be set for life and I won't have to work ever again. That was my thought process. And at the time, I was going to school. And I felt really good, but there were other factors in my life stressing me out. So still on the edge. I started basically trading with a couple thousand up to about $10,000 worth of currency a day. And I was making sometimes about $4,000 a day, and then losing maybe $6,000 the next, and then again making like nothing for a week, maybe losing something even, and then having a really good day again. But these really good days were far and wide in between. And in the meantime, the biggest problem was I could not get myself off the computer. I kept making and taking trades, even though they had no basis.
So it sounds like you started compulsively trading. You felt the urge to buy and sell regardless of the market conditions or your financial situation. And you started talking at the beginning about how it disrupted your sleep, and you spent an absorbent amount of time doing it. So it goes from compulsive trading to obsessive monitoring.
That's right. Yeah. Obsessive monitoring is pretty well put. It was constantly on the back of my mind. Even all the social interactions and outings, as well as just walking on the street, I would constantly have a look on my phone to see what's going on in the market. It was boring to live without having a trade open because it started giving me a type of a thrill or a kick to have a trade open, which is weird.
Well, you describe it as weird, but it's very much like the effects that other addicts face. You were experiencing a withdrawal from trading when you weren't doing it. Likewise, it sounds like that withdrawal made you feel isolated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The way you've named the podcast, which is Addicts in the Dark, I really had that type of feeling, being in the dark and alone. And the sense of isolation stemmed from a few backlashes I had in my private life. I was facing social troubles I had with people I know. And I was like, okay, so I'll just isolate myself and work this out and come out the winner. But in the end, I was really alone and in the dark.
Would you say that those social troubles were caused because of a lack of presence, mental presence with other people, or because you were exhibiting a specific type of behavior towards them?
I would say about 50-50. Me really not being present was somewhat of a reason for the trading itself became a reason for me being kind of nervous and on the edge, even at school. I got kicked out eventually for my behavior. I really took it harshly because getting into that school and finishing was my top priority, actually.
What kind of behaviors were those that caused you to get kicked out?
Because I was so on the edge, I became aggressive and somewhat like everyone could sense that this guy is always on the edge. This guy is always kind of, he's never relaxing. He's not really like in sync. I really wasn't in sync in social interactions.
Interestingly, I feel like that behavior kind of foreshadowed the volatile nature of trading any type of currency. You had volatile emotions, just like the constant fluctuations in the market. There were constant fluctuations in your emotions.
That's right. And when it was good, it was really good. And I was euphoric and ecstatic. And people were like, kind of going along with it. Wow, okay, cool. And the next day, maybe like even a few hours later, I could be completely drained.
Did you at any point decide or think about trying to stop trading?
That's a very good question. Up to that point, I was I'm going through my journals and I see that I was really in denial. Regardless of how bad it got, regardless of me losing tens of thousands of dollars, and having to pay for a bunch of other stuff, and also having spent a lot of the money I earned, I pretty much reached not zero net worth, because I had other assets, hard assets, but zero cash I reached. And at that point, my mother started helping me financially. And I'm always very adamant about being truthful. And at one point when my mother had lent me money for rent, which she had done for some months already, and she asked me, have I paid my rent? And when I told her that no, I lost the money in 2.5 hours. That's when I realized, wow, fucked, you know? And I was like, it was so many things at the same time. It was embarrassing. It was self-defeating. It was sobering. And that's when, within a few days from that, I realized like something has to change. I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. I did the numbers. I looked in, I pulled all the numbers together in Excel, and I looked into how much over the course of my life have I spent, or how much have I earned and how much have I lost. And I saw that I have lost 2 or 3 times as much as I've made in crypto. And I realized, okay, I'm bad at this. It would be unwise to continue. So then I really started working on the physical addiction side of things, replacing the activity with alternative activities. I was like, okay, I didn't smoke. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll smoke my pipe. picked up smoking basically just to have something else to do.
Not the best habit, but definitely cheaper than trading crypto.
Yeah, yeah. Even like soft drugs, I was like, might as well take soft drugs because it's cheaper. And whatever it is that I do that is not trading, it's better for me, actually. Like, might as well smoke and maybe take a few lines of amphetamine here and there. And just main thing to stay away from trading, go outside, breathe fresh air, and re-socialize. And by now, I completely stopped trading. Even when I see that there's an opportunity, like when information reaches me that there might be an opportunity or Bitcoin price flashes across my eyes while browsing the internet, I told myself that I've been down this path a lot of times and I did the numbers. It's wiser to stay away.
I remember when meme stocks first came about, there was a sense of FOMO upon people, and it kind of mirrored addictive tendencies, just like an addict chasing their next high. Mm-hmm. A trader consumed by the fear of missing out found themselves seeking a big opportunity mm-hmm. without proper risk management or sound judgment.
Yeah, because it's kind of a scene. It's a way of life to a lot of people. And tell me, Nick, have you ever traded crypto? You sound like you know a thing or two.
No, I don't know much about crypto, but I do know a thing or two on spending money on shit that you shouldn't. You know, like drugs. Speaking of which, what about the habits that you replaced your crypto with? You mentioned soft drugs and amphetamine. Did those become their own problems for you?
Gladly not. Not yet. The thing is, like, I don't take amphetamine daily or even weekly, and I've stopped smoking by now. And the drug experimenting period in my life is already behind me, I think. I've tried most of drugs besides crack, heroin, and this the crazy synthetic side. Like, I don't really get turned on by those. The main thing is kind of like staying afloat emotionally as well. And I sought help. Indeed, I went to sessions with psychologists. I got a coach, a mentor in self-expression and expression in general, and a mentor in what do you call training, I guess, my body, and sports again. So I'm in a better place. And the main thing is emotionally and psychologically, I'm in a better place today than 4 years ago.
And what about financially?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I retained about a quarter of the money I made because I put it into other assets, which were much more difficult to trade or get rid of, you know. But at some point in my life, I even pawned some of my assets, like watches and computers, just to have money to trade. And sometimes I would make enough to pay rent and live to fight another day, but sometimes I would lose it. So, and then the stress was crazy. It was just so crazy. So that's why I'm happy to be out of it. Like, and to enjoy the little things, like standing in a bus stop and looking into people's eyes, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like you've taken the steps that all addicts take to get better. You've developed a sense of self-awareness, or a better sense of self-awareness. You've sought support. You've been open with family and mental health professionals. You've been committed and put in the effort to get better.
Yeah. Definitely better. Definitely better than 4 years ago, 3 years ago. But I know that there are really people struggling with this, wasting ridiculous amounts of money. You can lose crazy amount of money in such a short time using leverage and trading crypto. And the problem is that the platforms make you feel like you are a pro and they know exactly what they are doing. The platforms entice people with bonuses, types of professional lingo surrounding the trading, a lot of technical jargon to make people feel like they are pros. And 90%, if not more, lose money in this market. There are only two ways of making money in crypto, and that's either buying and holding. I'm talking years and just forgetting about it in the meantime. Or you perfect a bot that trades for you. So the reason I want to share more light and shed more light on this is I find it in my heart that this has to become a subject of discussion in the wider public.
With that in mind, here in Canada, we're still navigating and putting into place policies surrounding responsible betting. For example, there might be new laws in place in a province, the province of Ontario, that prevents athletes or retired athletes or celebrities from promoting sports betting to deter irresponsible gambling. So I guess what I'm getting at is, do you think there needs to be policy in place surrounding crypto trading? So what I mean is governments, and maybe they do so in some places, but generally, should there be some type of barriers in place to promote responsible crypto trading?
I've seen the effectiveness of celebrities and public personas promoting cryptos and NFTs, even products, everything. To answer your question, possibly surprisingly, I'd say no. Because the issue is not crypto. The issue is not sports gambling. The issue is not the casinos. It is where the people are with themselves that go there to find escape from their own thoughts, to drown their own mental content into these activities that flood the brain with dopamine. Mm-hmm. If people find solace within themselves and understand they have themselves, then they don't, and they have so much interesting and cool things to do in the world. The world is full of amazing, interesting subjects, things, theories, objects, everything, that there's so much to discover and enjoy, so that that people can spread out in their awareness. Because I forgot who said it, but someone said that addiction is the concentration of things that bring you pleasure. So that's why I feel it's really important to open yourself even to pain in everyday life, and accept myself, accept yourself, accept everyone's selves, become more accepting of oneself. We as a society can help everyone struggling in this by just putting a hand on each other's shoulders and saying, it's okay.
The allure of crypto can be all-consuming, leading some down a path of obsession and dependency. In the relentless pursuit of profit, it's easy to lose sight of the boundaries between healthy engagement and destructive behavior. The 24/7 nature of the crypto market, coupled with its volatile swings, can exacerbate addictive tendencies, drawing individuals into a cycle of constant monitoring, trading, and emotional highs and lows. But beneath the surface lies a deeper concern: the toll that addiction to crypto trading can take on mental health, relationships, and overall well-being. Remember, while the potential for financial gain is undeniable, our greatest asset remains our own well-being. Till next time, I'm Quick Nick. Thanks for listening.
Addicts in the Dark is brought to you in part by Melissa Armstrong Coaching. Check out Melissa Armstrong at www.strongarm.ca. That's www.strongarm.ca.